become so used to the phrase or used to this passage. And he described it as, imagine Jesus saying, you are a red hot pepper. And you eat that red, you know, someone eats that red hot pepper, it has that impact, that difference. Instantly, you know about it. Last year at the all-age gatherings, we did the family matters each month. We filmed them. The idea that they were kind of extreme. So one month I was getting soaked with water. One month I was walking on Lego. One month I ate a load of peppers and then did the family matters. What was the kind of bit that wasn't on the film, though, was the 5 minutes afterwards when I'd stopped filming and was running around the kitchen trying to get anything I could to get this flavour out of my mouth because it was so pungent, so strong, such an impact. And that's something I think of what Jesus is saying here is salt. You should have that kind of impact. It's not just kind of, oh, I'll give it or take it, leave it, doesn't really matter. No, as salt to the earth, you should actually have an impact in terms of the surroundings you find yourselves in the communities you live in the world that you are a part of. It's about being distinctive. If you ever swim in the sea and you get a mouthful of water, you know about it. Because the salt is there. Those who are over in the Holy Land at the moment, I'm not sure where they've been in the Dead Sea yet. I know they're going to it, part of it. But that's certainly a place you don't want to get a mouthful of water. You definitely know about it then, even just getting the kind of the hint of it because of the intensity. And Jesus is speaking this over his disciples, his listeners, saying, you know, this is what you should be. He also brings this clear challenge, doesn't he? Salt loses its saltiness, he says. It becomes, it's insipid, it becomes useless. It's nothing better than just to be put on the ground and trampled over. And I believe the same goes for us as disciples. Our flavour needs to be Christ-likeness. It needs to be one that has impact, that makes a difference, that is distinct, that packs a punch. And if ever we're in that situation or that phase where we kind of that's lessening, we need to take note of that and go, actually, why is this and how can we set this straight again? Jesus goes on, though, not only just to say you are the salt of the earth, he says you are the light of the world in verse 14. And to be light is to invade, is to eradicate the darkness. If you think about my caving picture backwards, when we turn the lights back on, suddenly you could see everything. And that pitch darkness didn't have a chance. It wasn't a case of, well, we'll turn the lights back on and will it still be? No. There was just no question whatsoever. Because light always wins. Now, with both of these phrases that Jesus is using here, the you is actually that sense of being very corporate. He's talking to the disciples, to the believers, recognize actually this is something that you are in together. Sometimes the emphasis is very much personal. We think of Philippians 2:15, we're told to shine like stars, and that the language Paul is using is very much you, an individual. You are to shine like that star. To use his illustration. But here, Jesus is saying, actually, no, we're called to be salt, we're called to be light as part of the community, together, emphasizing that we're in this as the body of Christ. We're not just lone agents going off and doing our own thing, but actually, no, we need to recognize that we've been placed on this earth to support one another, to stand alongside one another, to care for one another, to encourage one another, and to cheer on one another as we seek to make that difference. And light can be used to explain a number of different ways. We might think of light as a warning, as a lighthouse. It's saying, stay away from this. Don't go near this. You know, don't head towards me. That's not going to end well at all. You might think of light as that attraction. If you're ever out walking and, you know, kind of maybe in the autumn and the light starts to fade and you're heading to your destination, you see a light in a window and it kind of draws you in, this hope of something better. Maybe it's light is that guide. If you ever travel on a plane or you go to the theatre and you'll see on the floor there's those lights, those dots that were going to guide you if there's ever an emergency so you can get out, so you can stay safe. Light is something that is visible. And so very much Jesus says, you know, it's not something you put on a stand. You put on a stand so everyone can see it, so the whole house can be illuminated. It's not something to be hidden and kept secret and tight and held away. And it's a reminder, I suppose, here that discipleship is not a secret thing. It's not something that's just for me in my little world that I don't have to share with anyone else and doesn't really connect with anyone else. That's very much, I think, the whole kind of life groups are a great example of that. Actually, discipleship is something we do corporately so we can actually stand alongside one another, so we can grow together, so we can consider God's word together. Yes, we need to do that in our own lives as well, but actually, how are we doing this as one? And it's this challenge for us of saying, I believe, how are we called to be that light, and what difference will it make in our surroundings? How will we be that irritant, if you will, to society, marching to a different tune? I'm not going to go into a long list of things that we could spend hours talking about in terms of some of the challenges that are going to come our way, I believe, in terms of the things that are rising up, in terms of opposition, in terms of issues that, well, how do we deal with this? How do we land on this as believers? And saying, how are we going to kind of stand before society, before our culture, and say, actually, no, this is God's standard. This is what we believe. This is what we're about. This is the line, and we want to dialogue, we want to journey with, we want to love, we want to offer God's grace, but actually, this is what it means to follow Jesus. This is what it means to be a light in the darkness. And as we proclaim Jesus as Lord, it's recognizing that he is the light, capital L, if you will, and he kind of shines through us. Thus, we are the light, a little L. I read one kind of example saying, you know, we are almost that window through which the light is seen. And maybe it's asking that question, you know, kind of, are the panes of glass in my life a bit dirty at the moment? There's one side of our conservatory up at the house that is kind of next to the fence a bit. And you can see it just gets darker and darker from the kind of mess. And that's it. And because it's hidden, you don't really see it. But actually, there comes a point we've got to clean it, because otherwise it actually starts to have an effect. But it's very easy just to ignore it. And maybe it's asking that question, yeah, how am I at? Where am I at? How am I doing? How am I actually shining for Jesus? He says, you know, to be like a city on a hill, we must be visible, recognizing that we have that responsibility as disciples. I love the scene in Les Miserables where Bishop Muriel welcomes Valjean in, knowing that he is a convict. And he welcomes him and he gives him dinner. And obviously, as the story goes on, he gives him a lot more than dinner. But I love this sense of, as you know, Jesus picks up the last verse, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What are those good deeds, maybe, that we have those opportunity to do? Not for our benefit, but so through them, others will see Jesus. I wonder whether sometimes as the church and as believers, we're a bit like a small child who, maybe you can picture it, it's, you know, they've been sent to bed because it's bedtime, not because they've been naughty, and they're hiding under the covers and they've got a book out and they've got a torch. Maybe you did it, maybe you still do it, and they're hiding, they're reading because they want to keep kind of reading whatever it is, their comic or their book or so on and so forth. And they're trying to do it in secret because they don't want to get caught. Now, I've always kind of found it quite slightly amusing, the fact that kind of a small torchlight doesn't illuminate that much so that kind of parents downstairs would possibly realise it. But that's not the point here. But I wonder whether sometimes that's a picture of us as the church, in that we have this light, but we kind of keep it hidden away. Maybe we don't do it instinctively. Maybe it's something that we just do without kind of meaning to. But we actually kind of are hidden. And it's great because we're doing all the things we do, and we're enjoying life, and we're growing as believers, and we're spending time in fellowship with one another. But all of it is under some kind of duvet, rather than going, actually, if this is worth engaging in, if this life of faith is worth living, then we need to share it with everyone. We need to be open about kind of how wide can I take this. And so I want to kind of leave you with four questions this morning, which I don't raise with a pointing finger at all. As I've been reflecting on them this week, in many ways I've been really challenged by what they mean for me, which I think goes back really to what kind of this picture that was shared 2 weeks ago. It's been going around in my head because of the questions that I believe God's been putting before me. But I wonder whether we need to ask the question, who will God put in my path? Who is it? If I'm going to be salt and light, who will God put in my path? Maybe there's those that are known to us who are going to be put in our path this week, even today. Those that we've built up a relationship, maybe we're related to, maybe those we don't know yet. Maybe some will be kind of really meaningful encounters. Maybe others will just be fleeting. But if I'm going to be salt and light, how am I preparing myself for those people that God's going to put in my path? Maybe it's asking the question, where is God going to lead me? You know, I like to think I'm quite organized. I work to a diary and a pattern and that sort of thing and try and slot certain things in. And maybe you have a certain rhythm to your day and your week and that sort of thing. But then, am I open to God guiding me? Do I actually ask him to? Or sometimes am I so kind of fixed on, well, this is Tuesday, so Tuesday has this in it, and so I kind of work through it. Rather than go, ask you, God, okay, I've got these things that I'm probably going to do today, but where are you going to lead me in it? How am I open to what you have for me? I'm always struck by the story of Barbara Key. If you don't know Barbara, she was a member here for many years, her and her husband Vernon. And Barbara, in her later life, I don't know exactly, but I think 70s or 80s, was traveling to China and taking Bibles. And I love this sense of someone who kind of very much hadn't been told, kind of, well, no, you're too old and past it at all. And God was using. And I'm not suggesting that's what you've got to do, but I think it's sometimes we can kind of write ourselves off saying, God, where do you want to lead me? Where is it you want me to go? I think asking the question, how will I be a light carrier for him? How will I carry the light of Christ into the world? In ancient Greece, in some of the races, apparently it wasn't the fastest runner that would win. It would be the fastest runner whose torch, which they're carrying, is still a light at the end of the race. And how are we carrying that light? How are we ensuring that the light is within us? That it hasn't dimmed, it hasn't kind of grown weary, hasn't become just about what's on the surface? God has created you to be so much. A lot of what we've been exploring in 1 Corinthians has talked about that in terms of the gifts that God placed within every single one of us. And saying, how are we going to dig into that? How are we going to grow in that? If we look back at the legacy of the church here, we think, Dennis's ministry was very much about kind of saying, how are people growing? We look at the people who've, in that time, who've gone on elsewhere. I think of Andy Browning. Again, a name you may not know, but he's a few years older than me. He's currently pastoring up in Worcester. We think of Jan Vidler just down the road in Robertsbridge, because God moved in and through them, and they were open to being light carriers. And the last question, which I suppose is kind of maybe for a bit further on, but having in the back of our mind is, where are the stories of light along the path? So yes, we need to be light carriers. Yes, we need to make that difference. But how are we also sharing what God is doing? Not so kind of, well, look at me because I'm amazing and this is what happened this week and I did this and that and these people came to the Lord and I'm just the best. But not actually so we can encourage one another, so we can actually share and build one another up, so we can proclaim who God is, because it's only through his power working in us that this comes to be. And it's something that we need to make space for, but recognizing that actually there are stories that need to be told that will bring glory to God, will further his kingdom. And that if we're humble enough, will involve us being those carriers for God. Let me pray. Father God, I want to thank you for your love and your grace and your willingness to lead us on, to walk beside us, to cheer us as we head through life. And for the fact that you offer each of us that opportunity to know you and to be salt and light for you, to make those holes in the darkness wherever we find ourselves. I pray, Father, that you will give us the humility and the grace to seek you and to respond to the things that you say to us. May we bring light into the darkness this week, Lord. May we do that for your glory and for the furthering of your kingdom. Amen.